our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 28, the verses 11 through 20. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 28, beginning with the 11th verse. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Casey Niels and Mr. and Mrs. Rien Ludeman and further family with the confirmation of the death of Mr. Brian Slingeland. Mrs. Lisbeth van de Breinhost and further family with the death of her sister-in-law, Mrs. Tries van de Breinhost in the Netherlands at the age of 68 years. Mr. and Mrs. Stephen and Shannon Vandenberg, Mr. and Mrs. Maurits and Eileen Riedijk, and Mr. and Mrs. John and Marie de Kock, who were all blessed with the birth of baby boys. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy providence and in thy tender mercy that we and our children may see the dawn of another day, that thou wast given another Lord's Day, another soul's mark a day, and wherein the past week that thou wast graciously watched over us, wherever we were called to be, in the home, on the way, at work, in school. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, and that all for sinners that are lying under the sentence of death, as thou wast proclaimed to our first parents the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That for a people who are all sinners that sin and offend in so many ways than by renewal, then we have heard, and may we have heard it, the holy law of God. And then we all must say that we are guilty, that we are very guilty. Ah, Lord, should it then not be a wonder that we may still have a place on the earth and a place in thy house, and where thou still shower so many blessings upon us and our children, and that in a difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth. And what maketh us and our children to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in the past week, then thou wast not only spared life, but then thou wast also given life. Thou wast blessed three fathers and three mothers by renewal in their married life, with the birth of a little child. Then thou wast spared life, then thou wast given life, ah, Lord. Well, thou grant unto those parents a broken and a humble heart under the goodness of the Lord. And may the prayers be multiplied Grant that special place at the throne of grace. Bind the matter upon the hearts, that they may be little ones for Thee, little children for Thy honor and for Thy glory, that it may please Thee to work from generation to generation. Wilt Thou further strengthen the mothers? Remember those parents with increased blessings, but also increased responsibility. May it please Thee to spare the parents for the children and the children for the parents, where we have experienced, where it suddenly, unexpectedly, that the end can come. Lord, we commend unto Thee the grandparents, even great-grandparents, with the increased blessing, but also with the increased responsibility. We commend unto Thee all the mothers with the unborn, and do remember the barren ones amongst us. Lord, we commend unto Thee a mourning family, a family circles where in the past weeks, where their hopes have faded away, and where in the day of yesterday it was confirmed what they have feared. Lord, we may thank Thee that Thou was given unto the searchers, that they have become finders. How wilt Thou uphold those mourning families? Lord, wilt Thou remember those wives? They have become widows in this deep and trying way. Wilt Thou remember the children at home and the children married? We commend unto Thee the old mother, a widow for so many years, and now she has lost the son. We commend unto Thee all the brothers and sisters with the family circles in this deep and trying way. Do remember and uphold them in the time to come, and that the callings may be sanctified. Wilt Thou also remember a widow in her midst, who by renewal has received the tiding, a beloved one in the Netherlands, a sister-in-law, was suddenly taken out of this life after many afflictions. For her it has become eternity. Wilt Thou uphold the widow? Remember all mourning ones amongst us, and all, Lord, when Thou grantest that there is not an empty place in the family circle, may oftentimes, may we be given to stand still to appreciate and to consider all the goodness of the Lord. Then Thou was given in this past week that two couples, that they were united in holy matrimony. They have begun life's journey together as husband and wife, and this is their first Lord's Day. Make the first Lord's Day a special day, that Thy word may be blessed to their souls. May they be praying, young couples. Lord, we commend unto Thee all the sick and all the afflicted, many amongst us, that old father who may commemorate his birthday in the day of yesterday, his thoughts have multiplied, where he is declining, becoming weaker, coming closer to eternity. We commend him unto Thee for body and soul, together with his dear wife. Wilt Thou remember all family members in the family circles among young and old, Were there those that are greatly afflicted, thou wast hitherto watched over them. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening? Wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms, and that all the callings, that they may be sanctified, remember all the elderly ones amongst us. Lord, impress upon all of our hearts that our time is but short, and that we are hastening to that never-ending eternity, and that thou grantest this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee in all, Lord. It is written in thy holy word that thou wast looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought thee. And then thou hast declared that there were none. There were none that understood. They have all gone astray. But now the eternal wonder, where thou hast chosen a church unto thyself, and that church must and shall be gathered. And thou gatherest thy church by word and by spirit. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, that it may please thee to use thy word in this morning, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, that thou may place sinners in their missing and in their guilt, then they shall be given to cry unto thee, and thou shalt never forsake the work of thine own hands. Those seekers, then thou drawest them by the cords of love to taste of the good things of the Lord. But, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that go upon the earth with the burden of their guilt, and that are given to learn that they cannot save themselves, but then it may still be declared. Oh, that only name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved, the precious name of Jesus, wilt thou grant the further leadings in the life of thy children, and further instruction, as we have heard out of thy holy word, that thou hast appeared unto thy disciples, and that thou hast given such precious instruction, and encouragement also for the time to come. May it then please thee in this morning hour to be a surprising God, that thou may send down the showers of thy Holy Spirit. We may acknowledge thee for the rain which thou wast given in the past week. But, Lord, thou knowest that it is still so dry, that the concern is so great concerning the crops and concerning the cattle. Then we have to confess that our sins are great and manifold. May then all thy speaking, may it be used for thy church, that we may be given to turn from sinful, worldly, and evil ways unto thy holy word. Lord, in other places of this country, then there is great flooding, many concerns, then surely, then thou wast something to say unto us. Wilt thou so graciously grant thy help in this morning, open thy precious testimony, anoint us with fresh oil from above, that with freedom and liberty and joy, we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. May we be given to ask great things of thee. Thou art such a great God. Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly. Go then from bench to bench and from heart to heart, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 4, the stanzas 1 through 5. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain? against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign, and what follows, Psalter 4, the 5 stanzas. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Matthew 28, the verses 16, 17, and 18. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Our text words speak of Christ's declaration of his power on the mount in Galilee. Four thoughts. In the first place, the giving of this power. Secondly, the character of this power. Thirdly, the extent of this power. And fourthly, the examination concerning this power. Christ's declaration of his power on the mount in Galilee. The giving of this power, because we read in our text, is given. The character of this power, we read of all power. The extent of this power, heaven and earth, and then the examination concerning this power. Thus first, the giving of this power. A beloved congregation, and this morning we have a meeting of the exalted, the risen Christ, to 11 disciples on a mount in Galilee. That was a meeting by special appointment and special direction. We read of other appearances where Christ has appeared to his church many times in such a surprising way. But Christ, before he has died, then he has spoken to his church in Matthew 26, verse 32, that after he was risen again, that he would appear in Galilee unto them. That was also the message on the morning of the resurrection, as we read in Matthew 28, verse 7, that the angels have declared to the women that he was risen. See the place where he is lay, and tell his disciples, the disciples, that he would appear unto them in Galilee. And then it is added in Mark 16, verse 7, and also Peter. The same message was given by Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 10, when Jesus has met the women returning from the grave, that he would appear unto them in Galilee. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, as the greater Joseph, with a yearning heart, with a desire to show himself as the resurrected King unto his church. Ah, for the church of God, then how oftentimes that he is even better, richer, than what he has promised. We read in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, oh, so often better, never worse, because I read in Titus 1, verse 2, that he is a God that cannot lie. And now the disciples and they have received instruction, direction, very well possible on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, that Christ has given direction, the time, which mount, and when he would appear unto them. Then we read in our text words, then the 11 disciples, there are some that speak perhaps it was the same meeting as we read of in 1 Corinthians 15, when he has appeared to 500 at once, but that is not written in our text. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Then in obedience to the command of Christ, then they have went to this mountain, and they have waited for the appearance of the resurrected Christ. The Lord has appointed special places. Ah, the Lord is free. What a privilege and what a blessing. What here and there in the kitchen, wherever it may be on the farm, that a child of God may receive a visit instruction from the Lord, all concerning providence and concerning the way of grace. But the Lord has in a special way appointed a special place for us and our children, and that is the house of God, because I read in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and then it is necessary, unceasing prayer, for the precious work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. And now that Mount of Galilee, not written which mount it was, not so important, but it was an elevated place. What a privilege it is also when we may come up to the house of the Lord, that we may be elevated among all the cares and the trials of life, and how manifold they can be. What a privilege it is for a child of God, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, when they may also come up to the Lord's house, and they may be encouraged, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee. For the disciples, it is believed that this visit, that it was shortly before the ascension into heaven, and to that end how wonderfully the Lord has provided, because we have heard in the past weeks 153 large fish. What a provision to provide for the families, when also soon by renewal they would be commanded to go back to Jerusalem to await for the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now, of course, much easier when we may have so many fishes, so much provision, that we can leave the cares behind. And then how oftentimes it is that we trust more in those fishes than in the Lord. But what special times it is when there are trials, when there are cares, unpaid bills, and when we may come up to the house of the Lord, and as it be on the Mount of Galilee, that we may be elevated above all the cares of the world, that they may be left outside of the church doors, a Mount of Galilee. Oh, it cannot be different, because boys and girls, you can understand it. When we are on a mountain, we can see a long distance. And then undoubtedly in Galilee, all from that mount, then they were given to reflect upon the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps from that mount they could see the cities of Capernaum, Bethsaida. They could see the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord has done such wonderful works, where the Lord has preached the gospel. What a blessing it is for the church of God when in the house of God to be given to reflect upon His almighty wonders, what the Lord has done in the past, and also a need for a further instruction. The blessed portion of the 11 disciples. 11 disciples. Where was the 12th one, boys and girls? That was Judas. He has gone to his own place. How also in that respect that the thoughts of the disciples must have multiplied. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. The first time in the scriptures, in the Gospels, we read different ones that have fallen before Jesus and that have worshipped him. But the first time in the scriptures that it is literally written of the disciples that they have worshipped him, it is clear that first was at a distance, because in verse 18 we read, and Jesus came, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Read that of different times. Must not understand that the disciples, they have doubted whether Christ was risen indeed, but whether it was truly him. Received the glorified body. Maybe there are some that say, but disciples, you have witnessed it. Christ has appeared different times. He has shown his pierced hands, his pierced side. He has eaten bread and honeycomb. Oh, disciples, do you still have to doubt? The Lord has a people that understands it. Oh, there are times that they may believe that they must believe, because faith there is such assurance, but that there can come other times. That prayer of that father in Mark 9, verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Also that glorified body, we read different times after the resurrection concerning when he has appeared that they have doubted. For the church of God, then they need further instruction and a further confirmation. And now for those worshiping, and some we do not read all. The Lord is so free. People is so dependent upon the immediate application of the Holy Spirit. I read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. But now we read that Jesus came near. That word implies that he has come closer by. And then he has spoken those precious words, a precious promise for the church, and that in a special context, because in verse 19, we read of that confirmed commission that the disciples were called to go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now we have heard it out of this chapter that the rumors were spread that the disciples have stole the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that city of Jerusalem that has cried out, crucify him, crucify him. A world that lies sunken in darkness and heathenism. And now those disciples, they were called to preach. And who is sufficient unto these things but that commission that is in between two special promises. And now in this morning the promise that concerns the almighty power of the King. And then we read that Jesus spake unto them, all power is given unto me. Thus it was a given power by the Father. It was not a power that was taken. Read different times the kings of Israel, that one has come to murder a king or banish a king, and that he has climbed on the throne. But that is not written in our text words. It is a given power by the Father. And in the original, then it is a word that speaks of the past tense. Thus, that is a power that has been given to the Son in the Council of Peace, where the Trinity is counseled concerning the salvation of the children of men. Then we may speak of that power that is given already in the way of prophecy, in the mother promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. A word is spoken of that warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that the seed of the woman, that he surely would be victorious. All Father Jacob has spoken of Shiloh in Genesis 49 verse 10, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Then when the angel Gabriel has appeared in the fullness of time, then there was spoken of this kingship. In Luke 1 verse 32, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of David forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And to that end, in the fullness of time, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of measure. Then Christ was anointed with holiness, with wisdom, and with power. Then further concerning this given kingship, it would be as a reward upon the meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, where we read already in Psalm 2, of that degree, thou art my Son, which was begotten, ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And now concerning the kingship, and concerning the power of the mediator, then already in the state of his humiliation, oh, it is true, veiled behind his human nature, to say it reverently in a certain sense, still constrained, but then he has manifested that almighty power. What a wonders he has done. He has commanded the waves to be still. He has raised the dead. He has cast out the devils, and he has healed the sick. Oh, then already with our first point, should it not be our concern, young and old? It is true, we shall leave it for the last point. But when we read of this king, that power is given unto him, power invested, power entrusted, should it not be our deep concern, whether by free and sovereign grace, whether he has become our king, whether we have learned to bow under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Our second thought, the character of this power. And in our text, then we speak of that meritorial kingship. It's also an essential kingship. Never may be separated, may be distinguished. There is spoken thereof in the Scriptures, because the Son, as the second person of the divine Trinity, then the attribute, we have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook according to his word, the almighty power of God. Think of creation declared in Psalm 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. But in our text, then it concerns the mediatorial kingship, and that has special reference to the church of Jesus Christ, wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. But now that king gathers, preserves his church against all those enemies, and therefore that mediatorial kingship that also concerns the enemies, that concerns the whole world. Oh, the king by word and by spirit, then he is still gathering the church. Therefore, the world may still stand. Therefore, in this morning hour, we may still come up to the courts of the Lord, oh, to hear of that exalted, that glorious king, that shall gather his church, that shall work from generation to generation. Psalm 72, verse 5, they shall fear thee as long. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations, all power. Thus it does not say some power, does not say much power, does not speak of power of certain circumstances. Thus our text speaks of a power unlimited, everywhere present, and that word power in the original, that refers to three special matters. In the first place, the ability to do something. Our boys and girls can understand. When we have a task, maybe something is impossible, other things we can do. But in our text it says all power. Then in the second place, because that word power can also be translated as authority, thus not only the ability, but the right to exercise this power, speaks of the sovereignty of the king in his way and at his time. Thus that is included thirdly, the freedom of choice, when and how to exercise that almighty power. Thus our text that speaks of a power that is unlimited, all prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Oh, John on the island Patmos, then he was given to see that almighty king, arrayed with that vesture, and on that vesture was written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All power is given unto me. Ah, the psalmist has already said, Psalm 57, verse 2, by the exercise of faith. Oh, people of God, easy to speak of these matters when everything goes smoothly, when there may be hope, and there is hope for the church. But when the Lord sends trials, the Lord does it in his love. He sends those trials in love that the king, in a special way, may be enabled to manifest who he is. Also concerning his wonderful attributes, also concerning his power, the psalmist in 57 verse 2 has declared by true saving faith, I will cry unto God Most High, that performeth all things afore me. The almighty power of the King. Oh, in providence, what an examples we have in the Bible. Think the children of Israel through the wilderness, Numbers 11, when the Lord has declared to Moses that murmuring people would receive flesh. Shall then all the flocks be slain, and the fish of the sea caught? Then the Lord has declared in that chapter that the Lord's hand is not short, and that he would see that the Lord would perform, that people may be fed. The examples could be multiplied. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. A power and providence, privilege, when there may be times that we may be given to see and experience it, that we may be given to tell each other this is nothing but the finger of the Lord. What a privilege, when it also may be an answer upon unceasing prayer. But now concerning that almighty power, then it especially refers to his church. And then in the first place, regeneration, to make a dead sinner alive. Ezekiel 37, the prophet was given to see a valley, many dead bones all scattered about, and they were very dry. Prophet, can these bones live? He had a good answer. Lord, thou knowest. What a power it was when those bones began to move and when they were clothed with flesh. What an almighty power it is. A sinner that is not asking for the Lord, and whether in the church or in the world, it is the same. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. No heart to heart, no heart to rebellious, no heart to evil. When the Lord speaks, do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? May the King exercise that almighty power. That in this day, that sinners, by that almighty power, they may be drawn upon. And there is no sinner. We can try to resist it, we can fight it. But that almighty power is such a great power that there is no sinner that can resist, because it is a power that is accompanied with love. And no sinner that can resist that love. Do I not read in Psalm 110, verse 3, that the Lord shall have a willing people in the day of his power? And now, congregation, then we must always place ourselves on the Lord's day and also during the week. Sometimes the church seems a little empty, and we know truckers, lawful reasons. Nevertheless, when there is opportunity, when we are enabled, let us place ourselves where the Lord in a special way has promised to dwell and to exercise that almighty power. Do we not read of that almighty King in Psalm 45? Thou art fairer than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon thy lips. All the arrows of the King, they are sharp, and then the enemy shall fall. But for that people that is wrought upon, more is necessary, because that people that learn what sinners they are, they learn they have a heavenly high debt, and they try to pay that debt. But a sinner still. But now that almighty power of that precious blood of the King that has been shed on the cross, do I not read 1 John 1 verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins, and what is further necessary, that the church, that they are preserved, because they live upon a world where everything is against this King, a fruit of our deep fallen Adam, and as we come closer to the end of the world, then that enmity only becomes greater. Read the book of Revelation. But all power is given unto me. And then we read the extent in heaven and upon earth. Thus then we speak the necessary power against all the powers of darkness. Our own flesh, the world, and the devil. In Revelation 13, concerning the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, then we also read of given power, that the dragon has given power to the beast. The devil tries, it's called the Antichrist, try to take the place of the Son of God. But also in that chapter it is implied that it is all given from this Almighty King. And now we read in our text, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. When we speak of heaven, then in the first place, all power at the right hand of the Father as that great intercessor upon the finished mediatorial work in the state of his humiliation with the breastplate upon his heart. And upon that breastplate is written the chosen church. And to that end, the Son of God, not only interceding, but demanding upon what the Father has promised, what precious things are written in John 17 concerning that high priestly prayer, all power in heaven, concerning the angels. They are sent forth, present at the church service. But we also read more things of those angels, ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And do we not read in Isaiah 37 that the Lord has sent an angel who has slain 185,000. All power in heaven. The Jews, they many times spoke of three heavens. The heaven of heavens, the dwelling place of a triune God. Then the heavens of the sun, moon, and stars. Also included in that power, what a preaching. We have mentioned the text out of Psalm 72, verse 5. Do you ever turn that text into a prayer, congregation? When you on your knees, that you turn that text into a prayer and say, Lord, thou wast promised, as long as there shall be a sun and moon. Have you ever looked at the sun and moon that way? And send sighs up to heaven, Lord. They shall fear thee from generation to generation. May we and our children, may I be included in that people that may have a small beginning to praise that great and eternal King. Then also concerning the third heaven, that is the heavens of the clouds, the heavens where the bird flies. Then the king, in the way of his providence, then he also directs everything in the realm of nature. But we read in our text, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And then in the first place on earth, oh, what an enemies. We have heard it concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the rulers, they have offered, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. What an efforts are put forth in this world in so many different ways that the glory and the power of the King and of the Savior, that it may be hidden from the children of men. What a money, billions of dollars are donated to many organizations that the King may not be held forth before the inhabitants of the earth. Also the calling of the church. It's our calling to strive for what is right. When we think schools, universities, used to be so different. Of course, boys and girls, there was no perfection. That strife that is going on for 6,000 years. But in our country's former ages, more so in the States, what a rich heritage. Good for us and our children to read of the pilgrims, but there have also been times in Canada when there have been revivals, the truth preached, even in the big cities. What a respect for the day of the Lord, of this great King, that there formerly was in our country. But we have become proud. We have become independent. Bible prayer has been taken out of the institutions of mercy. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. But our text is given that we become not overly discouraged. Because I read in Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. The King sitteth on the throne. We have sung it together out of Psalm 2. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? But then in verse 6, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And that is the King that is declared in our text. He is speaking and speaking of his power. But now those powers against the King, they are so great and they are so manifold. And we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may destroy. But have you heard that word? As a roaring lion. But of this King we read in Revelations 5, verse 5, that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, when we speak all power upon the earth, governments, everything in His hand, even the smallest matters. Matthew 10, verse 29, sparrow shall not fall to the ground without the Heavenly Father. Christ has spoken in the Sermon on the Mount, the end of Matthew 6, concerning the daily cares of the church. O ye of little faith. Hear then the King speak. Maybe there are souls, difficulties, impossibilities, but all power is given in heaven and upon earth. Let us first sing it. Psalter 423, the stanzas 1 and 7. Jehovah reigns as King, to Him all homage bring. Ye islands, earth, and ocean, bring forth in glad devotion. And what follows, Psalter 423, the stanzas 1 and 7. Thank you. Christ's declaration of his power on the Mount in Galilee. At the giving of this power, the character of this power, the extent of this power, and now fourthly, at the examination concerning this power. Then the question is, young and old, how is it concerning this Almighty King with his almighty power? Have we learned to bow? Have we learned to worship? I read of Joseph in Genesis 41. When Joseph was exalted, a beautiful type of the greater Joseph, of the king in our text, that he was second in command over the land of Egypt. And when that chariot would come through the streets or wherever it came with Joseph on it, then they have cried, bow the knee. How is that with us and our children? Fathers and mothers, if there were people in Egypt, fathers and mothers, who have said to their sons and daughters, my dear children, when Joseph comes on that chariot, then you must be sure that you bow immediately and very reverently, very low to the ground. And if those fathers and mothers would stand upright, is that your picture, fathers and mothers? Then what must those little children think? And so the king, each time by renewal, then he rides upon the apparel of his word, the chariot of his word. And then the command is to bow before the king, to bow under the authority of his word. Would not be well for those in Egypt that have stood stout-heartedly, proudly, who refused to bow their knees. Then surely such ones would be arrested and put to death. And now the command still comes concerning this king to bow under the authority of his holy word. Then one shall say, but I cannot give myself a new heart. That is true. Hold on to that. But how is it now concerning the holy word of that almighty king that has our heartbeat and our breath in his hand? Is there a willing obedience? No, we cannot change our heart. But is there even an outward obedience asking the king? Also concerning, when we read the scriptures, what is the king saying unto us? Then how awful it is when we openly, willingly choose for the ways of the devil and the world above God's holy word. Then we can understand, of course, this Almighty King with His almighty power, He is still so patient and long-suffering that for those that refuse to bow under His kingship and under His word, that He still allows them to dwell upon His earth and still grants them a bench in the church, that they may hear the King when He proffers peace and pardon. I read Philippians 2, the verses 9 and 10, that this King has received the name above every name, that at that glorious name that every knee shall bow. Oh, how necessary to be given to beg and to ask, that we may be wrought upon by the Spirit, because not only a bowing of the mind, the knees, the Lord requires His image back, and a bowing of our hearts, that it is such a willing bowing. Because the subjects of this King, and that is also His almighty power, there can be a temporal king, a dictator, that by force and by the threats of punishment and death, that there is a certain obedience. But now the King of our text words, by His Holy Spirit, those heavenly graces which He pours upon His church, then they become such willing subjects, a willing people, in the day of His power. And now when Christ has said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and upon earth, then this Almighty King, this all declared in the Scriptures, that He is such a merciful King. Oh, what an example we have in the Bible. Those that even mock the King, hardened their heart, refused to bow, chose in their own ways. But the King has taken an arrow of love and conviction, and shot it into such a heart. And then such a one was given to bow, to weep, to cry, to confess, to repent, and to come to the King. We have a beautiful example in 1 Kings 20. When King Ahab, when he went up against the Syrians, and then the Syrians have suffered defeat. They have come in the city of Aphek, and the walls have fallen down. And then they were in a chamber. It even says in the original, it means to go from chamber to chamber. No peace and no rest. Oh, are there such a few souls in my midst with everything that they have experienced? Oh, when the Lord works, then they are given to experience the almighty power of the King. But now the servants of Benedict have said, we have heard that the kings of Israel, that they are such merciful kings. Much more so of the King in our text. And then what have those servants done? A noose around their neck. And they have went to the King of Israel. Then further, how necessary to place ourselves where the King, as we have mentioned, that He promised to dwell in a special way. And that is in the house of God. And how necessary to pray that the King's word may be accompanied by the loving and powerful work of the Spirit, that we may be subdued. All power. Oh, the King shall exercise His power to the end of the earth. Verse 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But when the King comes upon the clouds of heaven, the dead shall be raised, shall all be judged. And then we read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then cometh the end, and shall come for us the day of death also. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Therefore we read in Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and while ye perish from the way. O Church of God, what precious words, what precious instruction concerning the kingship of the King. And that concerns his church. He has said to his church in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ah, that flock, those sheep and those lambs, they have many fears. The King many times leads them in unfathomable ways. Shall all be for their good. Romans 8, verse 28. All things shall work together for good to them that love God, whom are called after his purpose. And now the church learns, must all come from above, can bring forth nothing but unbelief. And unbelief, we have no God, perhaps a very small God, but by the work of the Spirit, when the church may be given to look upon that King, Lord of lords and King of kings, where he has everything in his hands, how often in the Scriptures that the omnipotence of the Lord, what a pillar for the faith of the true child of God. In ways of impossibles, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And now, for the children of the King, then they have a high calling. Mouth can be so closed, but the high calling of the children of the King, soldiers, but also to be used, that more may be gathered under the banner of the King. How for the children of God, then it cannot be different than in the exercise of faith given to behold the King, who was paid such a dowry to redeem them, that they may become the bride. Then they have a desire, for it was possible that all people would be given to bow before this great and this worthy King. We read in Psalm 149, verse 2, that is a psalm of praise. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. And in verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of wonderful things, and who is enabled to declare their riches and the depth thereof? May it have pleased thee, and may it please thee in this day as the Almighty King, that many may be gathered under that banner. And for those that have been gathered, the strengthening of their faith, to be instructed concerning the King, that was the portion of the disciples. To be given to learn that unbelief, that it is the greatest sin, that thou shalt never forsake, the work of thy hands. And, Lord, thou knowest, oftentimes thou leadest thy children through those deep, through the sea, through the waters, but thou shalt never forget them. Watch over us in the Sabbath day. Help the family circles. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 4. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Tyler John Garrett Beekman and Esther Judith Van Waverwijk. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, May 27 at 11 a.m. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be an Ascension Day service on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. The extra collection will be for the cemetery fund. There will be a male members meeting on Tuesday, May 31 at 7:30 p.m. More information can be found in the bulletin. And then we forgot to mention Mr. and Mrs. Ari and Alida van der Breinhost, also concerning the death of Mrs. Tries van der Breinhost in the Netherlands. Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 4.
Thank you.
glory save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.